It's just a short version of the Widnes Rugby Chat podcast this week for episode 25 of the season. Hear from Alan Coleman in the aftermath of the Vikings win over Batley last Sunday. Unfortunately, myself and Mike haven't been able to align this week to get something full recorded, but we'll be back next week. That'll be my fault, that one, I'm afraid. But in better news, Widnes have announced that St Helens winger or fullback John Bennison has extended his loan deal with the club until the end of the season. Bennison is out of contract at Saints at the end of the campaign, so it'll be interesting to see what the future holds for him. Widnes will surely be asking that question and be sure to be at the front of the queue for his services unless he can land a full-time gig elsewhere. Back rower Ben Condon has avoided a ban following his sin bin against Batley at the weekend, though he has received five penalty points from the RFL disciplinary. Penalty points accrue over the course of the season and can lead to suspension. Condon was sin-binned for a bit of an awkward contact on Aidan McGowan, the Batley fullback, as he chased a kick, sort of made contact with McGowan's head, I think with a hit with his hip in the end, and received 10 minutes in the sin-bin. And that almost coincided with Widnes just losing their way a little bit in the match. Condon had earlier put on the first try for Will Roberts, who, like John Bennison, is on loan at Widnes till the end of the season, although St Helens do have a recall on both of those players. Forward Jordan Williams, who made a brief appearance for Widnes on loan from London Broncos last season, has joined Super League side Wakefield for 2026. He has spent this year at Featherston. It still remains unknown whether the Super 8 playoffs between the bottom four Championship clubs and the top four League One clubs will be going ahead this year. A meeting last week to discuss the future structure of the Championship came and went without any confirmation of what is happening, with the likelihood still that some form of merged competition will be created for next season. Where that leaves Widnes remains to be seen. We did discuss this quite a bit last week in the podcast. If you missed it, Morgan McWhirter and Ben Condon were guests, but myself and Mike had a little bit of a chinwag about the prospects of the changes to the Championship moving forward. But we still don't know what's going on. Widnes is still waiting to hear the exact application process for Super League in 2026, with those two extra teams being invited to join the competition. There are likely to be three spots, although it's still, again, another thing that's up in the air. Salford surely not going to be part of Super League next season, given their ongoing struggles, although according to the IMG criteria, they aren't likely to lose many points from their score anyway, as they'd already scored pretty low on the finance pillar. And of course, finance only goes up to the end of the previous year anyway. The smart money remains on Bradford and York, with either London or Toulouse making up the full quota of 14 teams for next season. But it does seem that some clubs, and I'm not sure who, maybe you'd speculate the likes of Castleford, Huddersfield maybe, there are clubs like that who might find a big decrease in their scores. I know that there seems to be some loopholes and things that have been closed compared to last year. Widnes have created a working group to investigate what the club will need to do to sustain Super League, and there is an admittance internally that they will need some investment or funding from external sources to make it work. Widnes haven't necessarily got one of the top Championship budgets as it is, so of course, with the speculation that the new teams in Super League might not get the central funding that the others get, you would need even more money to be able to compete at the top level, so it'll be interesting to see how that comes together. Although, as I say, it seems very, very slim, very unlikely that Widnes will be part of them Super League discussions for next season anyway. As one Super League fan said this week, mid-table Championship clubs making comments on the size of the top division is a bit of a strange one. It's just a shame that Widnes weren't up near the top of the division this season, as it could have really lended weight to a bid to join in the top flight if Widnes had been maybe in the top three or four teams, like we're seeing Oldham, because of their success on the pitch this season. They're starting to attract the attention of the general rugby league fan. Oldham continue to make noise about them making the step up, despite having spent three quarters of the past two decades in the third tier of the game. They've launched a women's team now, surely part of a campaign to show that they are a club on the up and a Super League club of the future. And while it's true that Oldham have got a money man behind him, if that's all it takes to leapfrog Widnes, then there's not much hope for the future. Remember that Widnes were rejected from Super League in 2008 despite the arrival of Steve O'Connor because of what had gone on before him and under Stephen Vaughan and the administration that came at the end of 2007. And Widnes would have been in a really good spot under Steve O'Connor. Of course, had to wait till 2012 and did okay through the licensing process. So before we get into the championship predictions and look ahead to this weekend, let's hear from Alan Coleman after that win over Batley. Alan Coleman, you made to work really hard for that win despite the scoreline in the end.
Yeah, we knew it would be tough. You know, we watched the game against Featherston last week. They pushed Fev real close. We just knew that. But it's just so nice for Seals having players available and having competition for players. Training this week's been brilliant. Everyone's pushing each other. You saw today, no Tom Gilmore, John Jake Mason, but both available. You know, and we'll look to rotate next week, certainly will. We need everyone fresh. You know, some people might be carrying a little niggle, and it's fine, we have that competition. We're really happy with how we performed. Loads of things we can improve on each week. Most teams will say that, but you know, it took some winning that game, and I think we never looked like losing it, to be honest. But we showed a lot more contempt for each other and a lot more respect for the football.
You mentioned that competition for places. I thought with Nick Gregson unavailable, I thought Morgan McWhirter, you give him the start in 13, he was probably the epitome of that, the way he played. That's probably one of his best games.
Yeah, and I think last week he was better when at Sheffield. If you watched the game, it was a bit nip and tuck, and he come on and he lifted it, and that's what got us in front, and we never looked back from that. And I've told him in week, I said, you change that for us, and I think the only thing we can do is give you the rewards of doing that. And he's going more direct with his carries now, and he's a front foot player. He's quite quick at playing the ball. We lost some shape because Nick didn't play, but I think by moving JJ though, it gives us a little bit more balance on that. But yeah, he's been really good, Morgan, these last few weeks.
Your goal line defence got tested plenty. Batley had a lot of field position, but you stood firm on only that one. Really, the one bust from Emmanuel Wayne was the only line break I think they made in the whole game.
Yeah, Deck and Max both spoke at half time and said, listen, you know, we probably invested too much there and just didn't communicate instead of just pulling off and being a bit more patient. And he carries ball well, but you know, that's all we want from our group is honesty, and they both admitted that. But other than that, I thought how we defended our line. I think we held them up two or three times over the line, and that's been the last few weeks, that from us. You know, we were showing a bit more desire about us, and that just comes from having more bodies to choose from and more consistency and people playing together longer. So yeah, really pleased on the defensive side, definitely.
Nice bit of class as well from John Bennison and Joe Edge at the end of that first half when you'd been on the back foot, really, to set up that play and go the full length the way they did, really give you a lift going into half time.
Benno's been brilliant, right? You can tell he loves playing here. He just wants to play rugby. He's a young kid, and the longer we can keep him, the better it is for us. I thought he was outstanding last week and this week again. There's not many in the comp who, when they look up, they'll move the body shape, they'll go 20 yards sideways to find space and look for it, and even if they don't get through line, they'll certainly go for get a win and find the front, and he does that better than anybody I've seen.
Are you hoping to keep him? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, hopefully. It's all down to search, he's their player, but you know, the longer we can keep him, we'll definitely keep him, that's for sure, if we can. So we'll just see what they say. I know it was a 2-week thing, but you know, we'll see what they say.
The deadline's this week, is it?
I think it's the 21st.
21st, right.
Or the 40th. Yeah, it might be this week, actually. So we'll have a look into that, see what they say, see how keen they are.
You used Adam Lawton more as a middle today as opposed to in the back row. How did you feel he went?
Yeah, that's where I see him. I think he can give a lot of impact. You know, we're going to work hard with Adam in the next 12 months. How he carries ball, how he finds his front, how he quick. He's got a great offload, by the way. Not as in offload as such, but a tip play. I still think we're on sync with him on that. And I think the more we can learn him how to do it at the right times, the more chance we'll get, because he attracts bodies because of the size of him. So once he attracts bodies, there's space around him. So we're going to work hard on that. But he's been good for us.
Him and Ben Condon, perhaps similar in that regard. They attract bodies, but they've both got an offload, and we saw that with the try, the first try, the second half.
Yeah, Benny's been good for us, as you know. Probably gets a little bit frustrated because he's on the right side, and we're probably more dominant on left with that Deck being there. But when he does get called into that action with young Roberts, he's another one. He attracts bodies, and if you don't lock up on him, he'll get ball out, and he showed today he can. So yeah. Very similar. We're getting a big side about us now. We've got a bit of size and a bit of power. So it's pleasing to see, yeah.
He showed a good bit of pace in the first half as well for the first try.
Oh, he's quick, mate. Yeah, he's quick. I think he showed that in his previous games when he'd gone through the line. You're not stopping him. And when he got the ball, I said to Eddie Kilgannon, he'll go here, he'll leave these. And then, obviously, great push from young Will. I thought we scored some really nice shots today, to be honest.
Mad that it's your first back-to-back league win since February. Mad to think that we're in August and we're having that discussion, because it doesn't feel like it's been that bad of a season in some ways, but pleased to finally get some back-to-back. And I know you've got to keep going back-to-back now if you're going to keep the season going.
Yeah, we do. It's just, you know, I don't want to keep going over it, but it's just, it's a big thing when you're getting players on training park and, you know, like this week we've had three halves in training and it's just so much better, so much, you know, challenging. And we've had eight middles challenging. Back line's getting stronger. Mazo's back now and, you know, it's just so much. It helps so much. It lifts everyone's spirits. But they also know if they don't play well, there's something waiting in the wings. And we've not had that all year, I'll be honest. Once we got past Warrington game, we struggled with that side of it. You know, but we've set ourselves a target and there's no reason why we can't go and achieve that target that we're setting out. And I feel as though if we can, you never know where the league plays out and where who beats you. You just never know.
Because Jay Mason's going to have a hard time getting the fullback jersey off Joe Edge, isn't he? I mean, the metres Joe makes off at post-contact is as good as anybody, really, bringing the ball back.
Yeah, but we're in a good spot where we flipped Jack Owens today and attacking it. We got that try and, you know, why can we not do that with Mazo? And, you know, Jake's not a fool. He knows the game and he's probably got something more better than anybody else. He's got tons and tons of pace and we need to get that back in our team. Wherever it is, be wherever we find that space, he'll probably come in next week. We need him play. We're not signing for not play. You know, there might be some bodies out there what just need that 1 week off just for, you know, get some more energy back for a week after at Fev. So, you know, whoever we leave out won't weaken our team dramatically, but it also brings some energy to the team, and then week after we might change it again at Fev. So that's the beauty of having a squad, and we've not had that.
You go to Barrow next week knowing that if you beat them, you'll go above them in the table. I know that they're only eighth in the table and you want to be looking at sixth, but how much of a psychological boost would that be?
Massive, you know. And then you've a game in hand on Halifax, you know, and you bring them down there next, and they want playoffs, and then Doncaster and Featherstone, because week after we've got Featherstone, that could be a massive game if we beat Barrow, but we can't look forward too much. We've just got to enjoy today, which we will do, and then we'll come in this week and work damn hard. But, you know, let's get another one. Let's get another one, and hopefully the fans will turn out up there. I know they like going up there, and weather's going to be nice, so it could be a good day all round for us.
So it's a difficult trip to Barrow for Widnes this weekend, a place where they, of course, won last year to seal a playoff place. Widnes do owe Barrow one, really, after getting hammered at home by the Raiders early this season, but it's going to be a tough assignment. The reality is that Widnes are probably going to have to win every game from here on in if they are going to make the playoffs, and Barrow away is followed by Featherstone away, the two toughest fixtures on paper in that run. A win for Widnes would leapfrog Barrow into eighth in the table. Featherstone and Doncaster, who currently occupy the final two playoff spots, play each other this week, so Widnes would gain 2 points on one of those with a win, although Halifax have got what appears to be an easy win at home to Hunslet. So even with a Widnes win, Widnes would still likely be 3 points off the playoff places at the end of the weekend, although that's better than the current status, which has them 4 points off the playoffs. So looking at our predictions, Mike has sent me his predictions. We both got a full house of six last week, so that takes the running totals up to Mike has 82 and I have 81. The games this week, Toulouse plays Sheffield, Batley host Oldham. We've got Barrow against Widnes, of course. Doncaster welcome Featherstone in what will be a really interesting one. Halifax against Hunslet and York against London. So Mike is going for Toulouse, Oldham, Widnes, Featherstone, Halifax and York. I have to think of mine now. I'm going to go for the same, except I think Doncaster will beat Featherstone. So I think the other five will go the same as how Mike's predicted. But I think Doncaster will beat Featherstone at home. So there we have it. The game between Barrow and Widnes will be live streamed this weekend on the Lounges TV platform. So if you sign up to that, if you can't make it up to Craven Park for the weekend, you can purchase a stream. I think it's £6.50 on lounges.tv. Barrow stream the majority of their games through that platform. So if you can't make it up to Craven Park for the weekend, do get on that. Live coverage will be on BBC Radio Merseyside on the BBC Sport website. So if you want to listen to the game on that too, you can. As I say, thanks for joining this short podcast this week. Myself and Mike will be back for next week, but have a good weekend.